I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my turn till I met you. And I was breathing but not alive, and all my failures I tried to hide. It was my turn till I met you. Oh, you called my name, and I ran out of that grave, out of the darkness, into your glorious day. You called my name, soul. And now your freedom is all that I know. Heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, but you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open, 'cause when you call my name,
excited to worship with you all this morning. We're going to continue worshiping through song in just a moment, but before we do that, we get to do something that I love to do. We're going to have a seat. That's not the part I love, but we're going to have a seat, and we're going to continue worshiping and celebrating through believer's baptism.
Well, good morning. You know, it's a blessing always to be able to stir these baptismal waters. And I'll tell you, God has really blessed us over the last few weeks here at Ridgecrest because we've got to do this quite often between both services. And this morning we have Roman Banner coming. And this is Roman. I was just talking to Roman up here. He told me about 2 years ago he made the decision to follow Christ, but he'd been putting off baptism, and told me a story. He was sitting in his car recently and he heard the voice of the Lord say, "Get out of the car," and he went in the yard and the Lord told him, "It's time. It's time for you to follow me in believer's baptism." So this morning, Roman comes in obedience to that voice. Roman, tell him what your confession is.
Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
Amen. Roman, it's upon that public profession of faith that I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
True, what we just sang about celebrating when Jesus calls us and brings us from death to life. And that's what baptism is. It's a picture of what has already happened. It's our public confession of faith in Jesus Christ. And I'm so excited that we get to do that in here this morning. And if it's all right with you guys, we have another new song this morning. Is that okay? Thank you, brother. I like it. You know, that's with confidence. He's like, yes, amen. The song that we want to introduce this morning, it's a song called Tremble. And it's about that there is nothing bigger or greater than Jesus. That just at the mention of his name, great things happen. I want to read a couple of verses to you. First, out of Psalm 91. This psalm starts off and it's the psalmist talking, and then towards the end, it's God responding. It says this at the beginning. It says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And then God follows that up by saying, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." And then we have this picture in Philippians chapter 2. Paul's writing and he's talking about having the same mind as Christ. And he talks about him leaving the throne, coming to earth. And he comes down finally and he says this, "And being found in human form, he being Jesus, humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." And that's what we're going to be singing about in this song, Tremble. It's about that there is nothing greater than Jesus. Whatever it is that you came in with this morning, whatever struggle you're facing, Jesus is bigger than that. He was able to stand up in a boat when a storm was raging and say, "Peace be still," and the storm ceased. That's the God that we are here to worship and celebrate this morning. So if you would stand with us, I want to teach you the chorus of this song real quick. Can you bring that chorus up for me, brother? Thank you. Jen's going to teach this to you guys. It goes like this.
Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus.
You think you got it? Let's worship together.
At your name, still call. the sea to still, the rage in me to still, every wave at your name. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, your silence fear. Jesus, Jesus, you make the darkness tremble. Jesus, Jesus, breathe, call these bones to live, call these lungs to sing once again. I will praise Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Your silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. You make the darkness tremble, Jesus. Silence fear, Jesus, Jesus. You made the darkness tremble, Jesus, Jesus.
So heaven is real and death death is a lie. I want to hear voices of angels above singing as one. Hallelujah. Holy, holy God Almighty, great I am. Who is worthy? None beside thee. God Almighty, the great I am. I want to be near to your heart, loving the world and hating the dark. I want to see dry bones living again, singing as one. Shake before you, the demons run and flee. At the mention of your name, King of Majesty, there is no power in hell or any who can stand before the power and the presence of the great I am. Man, isn't it good to know that the God we serve is over everything? There is nothing that can stand against him. And that great and powerful and mighty God loves you. Loves you so much he sent his son to die for you so that you could have forgiveness of sin. And that's good news this morning. Amen? Amen. I hope that excites you and encourages you. Our purpose here at Ridgecrest, we've narrowed it down into these things. We want to reach, build, and connect. We want to reach the lost, and the unchurched. We want to build up the believer. We want to connect believers to the mission of God, of spreading the gospel of Jesus to anyone and everyone. And this morning, you know, we do that with a lot of different things, reaching, building, and connecting. And this morning, we're doing that some through song. We're going to build up the believer through the Word of God here in a moment as our pastor comes. But we also want to build up the believer as believers coming together as a family to encourage one another. So if you would take just a minute, turn to those around you and build each other up.
Ridgecrest Baptist Church presents Awesome August, Monday nights at 6:30. On August 27th, for his 14th consecutive year, Ridgecrest welcomes Fred Luder, senior pastor of the Franklin Avenue Baptist Church in New Orleans, Louisiana.
Paul think that he was all that. God, oh, okay, God, I got it. Every now and then when Paul think he was better than everybody, okay, God, I got it. Every now and then Paul thought that he was better than everybody else, that he was the man, that nobody, that he can do something else. Okay, God. God allowed this Paul in the flesh, this thorn in the flesh, as a reminder to Paul, never forget that God is still in control.
You'll be challenged and encouraged by inspiring preaching and music. Plan now to join us on Monday nights for Awesome August.
Well, good morning, everyone. It is so good to see you today, and we're so thankful that you're worshiping Jesus here at Ridgecrest with us. That quick video was just a reminder that tomorrow night is our last Awesome August. It's hard to believe this is our last one, but we want to encourage each of you here this morning to be a part of tomorrow night, 6:30 right here in our worship center, 14th consecutive year of Pastor Fred Luder being here, continuing to be faithful to the Word of God, and he's going to bring a message from God's Word tomorrow night. So make your plans right now to attend that tomorrow night. Love for you to be a part of that worship service. I want to remind you, because of that worship service, that our Sunday evening schedule is different. There's no Sunday evening services right now through the month of August. We'll start those back Sunday night, September 9th. So for you and your family, make sure you take note of that and be back with us on the 9th of September for Sunday evenings. And we have a normal Wednesday night schedule, so make sure you're here this coming Wednesday. A couple other things I need to do this morning. The first is this: say welcome to our guests. So if you're a guest of ours today, if you'll pull out your worship folder, looks like this. If everybody will grab their worship folder, that would be great for me for a moment. If you're a guest of ours, maybe today's the first time you've been to Ridgecrest, the first time you've been here in a long time, I want to encourage you, on the very back page of the worship folder, there's something called the guest card. We would love for you to take a moment today to fill out that information, and our desire as you fill that information out is for you to either drop it in the offering baskets in just a moment, but we'd rather you take it out this door and to the left, or the back doors and to the right, to our welcome center. There at our welcome center, you'll see a staff member and some volunteers and some people there that have a gift bag for you. And our desire, as Jonathan already said, is to connect people to the mission of God. And so we want to connect you and your family to the life of our church here at Ridgecrest. And so come by the Welcome Center, bring that guest card. We'll have a gift bag for you and love to get you information about what God's doing here at our church and how you can be involved in that. There's one other announcement I want to make note of today in your worship folder. There was an insert. It looks like this right here. It's showing you that we need specific needs within our preschool ministry. And so God is blessing our church in so many ways with a lot of little ones. And our preschool director, Jessica Peterson, is in need of some specific needs. You can read on that insert right there the needs that are available. And at the bottom, you can fill that information out to serve, to be a help in those areas. And so if you don't mind looking at that, taking it home with you, praying through that, we would love for you to consider helping Jessica and her team and our preschool ministry in the days ahead. And you can fill that out, drop an offering basket, or you can take it to her and hand it to her and let her know, hey, I'm willing to serve in these areas. So we'd love for you to do that. Last thing really quick, I brought something to you last week about the Bibles that we had an opportunity as a second service here at Ridgecrest. We're so excited to come today to let you know that around 587 Bibles will be arriving this week in the hands of those that are in need of them in India. And so again, we are so thankful for this second service, your generosity, your heart to reach out to those that were in need in that area and to bring the good news of God's word to them. And we're so thankful for that. Look forward to how God's going to use those Bibles in the days ahead to continue to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And so as we think about giving, I want us to continue now in our time of worship by giving our tithes and our offerings. And so if you'll pray with me, after that we'll be obedient and given back to the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning, God. What a blessing it is to be together with your people, to worship you, to have a desire as we think of putting you first. Matthew 6:33, God, help us to just focus right now and put you first in all of our ways, and in that allow you to guide our steps. And so, Father, we thank you for what you're doing in the life of our church, and I just pray that you would continue to bring people to be a part of this journey and continue to use our church to take the name of Jesus to the nations. And so, Father, our desire this morning is to do nothing more but to glorify and to worship you and to hear from you as we study your word. So Lord, I lift up our pastor to you now as we think of just the thought of prayer and the persistent prayer that you have laid out for us and the need for that in our lives. God, anoint him and allow us from there to be strengthened, to be obedient to what you're leading us to do through your word. Father, I pray now for this time as we give to you. God, help us to give cheerfully, and from there use these tithes and these offerings to further your kingdom because of what you're doing in our church. And again, God, above everything, we praise you for who you are and the life that you've given us in your son Jesus. And we pray this in his name.
Thank you, worship band, and I'm glad you're out here today, and I want you to take your Bibles and open up to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18. We'll read our passage here in just a couple of moments. I just want to reiterate what Chase said, and that is a thank you for giving generously. 587 Bibles. There were seven churches in India that Muslims invaded, essentially, and burned all their Bibles. And so you've replaced them. And so thank you for doing that, getting the word out. And that was exclusively something that we did through this second service. And I'm so glad that you did that. And then I'm glad you're here today. I'm glad you're here in particular because God has something for you. And if you will listen, God's going to speak to you today. He's going to teach you something you didn't know. He's going to speak to your heart about something you needed to hear. And for some of you, you're going to go, wow, God, you knew exactly what I needed today. Well, that's the way he does it. And he's going to use his word to do that. It's not going to be me that gives you the word, but it's going to be the Spirit of God who takes the words that I share with you today, and he's going to speak that into your heart. You know, one of the emphasis this year, in fact, let me just ask you, what is our emphasis for this year? That's a dangerous thing, but I assume you remember. What is our emphasis for the year? God first. Okay, good. I see that most of you have forgotten to wear your wristbands, but that's okay. God, there you go. How many of you got your wristbands on? You know, good. A lot of you do, and we still have plenty of them. If you want one, they're out the Welcome Center. But God first is our emphasis. We really believe if you get that right, you get a whole bunch of things right. Just makes sense. It's really not that complicated. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things related to life and the needs of life, he said, I'll make sure that those things are taken care of. And so remember that everything we do, including the words that I'm bringing to you, I want you to think of the fact that if God is first, these things, there's far more power to what I say if God is first in your life. And then I want to add one other thing. I was thinking about, if you read my column, I talk about the wall that's out. Have y'all seen the big kind of, it looks like a fireplace. Somebody said it looks like a big fireplace out in the Welcome Center. It's a rock. It has a big sheet of glass, and it has etched in it some very powerful words to remind us and the generations that come what God has done in this place. You heard Chase talk about, man, the Lord's blessing us with a lot of little ones, and that's why we need some folks to get into the rotation of helping. Not every week, but you just get into the rotation of helping us with the little ones. But God has blessed us with so many, and that's a trust. That excites me when I see so many. Jessica was giving me a report last week, and God is blessing our church, and we don't ever want to forget what God has done. We don't ever want to take that for granted, what he has done. And part of that rock water feature out in the Welcome Center is a reminder. If you haven't seen it, walk by it, see it. There's this beautiful scripture about remembering what God has done through a place. And there's some jars there with little stones in them. And we put those stones in there on the dedication Sunday when we came into this. Some of you contributed to that. You put your rock. We want everybody that is a part of this family. And if you're new in our family and have not put a rock in the jug, or one of them, there's several there, you can put it in any one of them, stop by the Welcome Center. They have the little pebbles for you to take and put, because each one of those stones represents our lives and our lives together. You can see one stone is a lonely stone, but when you put a bunch of them together, it becomes a heavyweight. And so if you haven't dropped a stone in one of those jars and you're a part of our Ridgecrest family, or if you join our family today, or go by the Welcome Center and get a stone. Chuck will have stones for you. They're out there. And just say, man, I want a stone. I hadn't put one in the jar. And that is a reminder, not just to us, but to the generations that shall come. Now, I've got something I brought up here with me, and I bet a lot of you have seen this. How many of you have ever seen WD-40? Raise your hands. You've seen WD-40. How many of you have or possess some WD-40? Well, that's a lot of folks in here. And so you've used it before. This is a wonderful product, isn't it? WD-40. Aren't you so glad they invented this stuff? You know, I keep it around the house. Anytime something squeaks, it gets a spray, you know. It also will clean things, and I mean, it tells you on front. Soft squeaks, removes and protects. It loosens rusted parts. It frees sticky mechanisms and drives out moisture. But a lot of people don't know why it's called WD-40. We don't even worry about it. I mean, nobody says, well, WD-40, what in the world does that mean? I've got to know. Well, you came to the right place. WD means water displacement. Water displacement. And it was a formula. They were working on a formula to do the things that this says. But why 40, WD-40? Well, the reason is because the first 39 formulas failed. That's actually true. So they named it WD-40 because they got it right on the 40th attempt. Chuck, can you catch? Wow. Sign him up. Everybody held their collective breath, Chuck. But here's the message, and here's why I said WD-40. We love the product, but they failed 39 times getting there, getting it right. And the message is, thank goodness they didn't quit. And you know what the passage we're going to look at today is, Jesus is teaching us about not quitting, about being relentless, about not giving up, about when you fail, getting back up, about when you face obstacles, don't quit. Now, I don't know, but maybe something has happened in your life recently, or maybe there's something going on right now that has caused you to think, I don't think God's listening to me. Or it may even cause you to think, well, I'm gonna give up. I've tried, I'm giving up. Here's my word for you, don't. Don't. In today's story, Jesus tells about a woman, and the best word I could use when I was working on this message to describe this woman was relentless. And you know, God wants you to be relentless in your pursuit of Him. He wants you not to quit, not to give up, and I'm going to tell you why as we go through this message here today. If you're physically able to do so, why don't you stand with me as we read our passage this morning, Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1. And this is what Jesus says, and He told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterwards he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to His elect who cry to Him day and night? Will He delay long over them? I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? Father, take Your words now. Anoint Him, Father, with Your Spirit's power. And Father, teach us and transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, generally, we refer to this this parable or this story of Jesus as the parable of the persistent widow. Now, some of the parables that we've looked at and some that we will look at in this series down the road, some of them are difficult to interpret. But this is not one of them. This actually is very clear and it's very precise and the meaning is not hard to discern. Jesus uses this story to teach us some things. He wants to teach us the importance of persistence. Now, it is possible that we could take this passage and just say, we're going to pull out the principles of persistence and just talk about the value and the importance of persisting in our relationship with God. But there's so much more than just persistence. It is persistent in the pursuit of God, and it is specifically persistence in the pursuit of God through prayer. And so Jesus uses this story to teach us about the importance of never quitting with God. He also uses it to teach us the importance of, as I said, prayer. And that this story affirms that if you ask and you knock and you seek, that God will respond. And then He uses this, listen to this, He uses this story to teach us the importance of persistent prayer. He teaches us the importance of persistence. He teaches us the importance of prayer. And then He teaches us, but when you combine those two, persistent prayer, there's great power that is released by God to work in our life. And so in this parable, there's a couple of things that we need to understand right off the bat. We would call them exegetical ideas that we need to clarify. The first is this. We don't know what specific injustice occurred in this woman's life. The passage doesn't teach us that, doesn't tell what happened to her, but it was pretty serious, whatever it was. It was something that caused her to say, I will not back down, I will not give up, I will not quit until there's some kind of justice in my life over whatever happened. But here's the other side. We don't need to know what happened to her. Because what happened to her isn't even the focus of of the story or the parable. It is instead the means or the motive that caused her to pursue this judge. Okay, so that's something right now. A lot of people try to say, well, what was it? What was it? That's really irrelevant to what Jesus is trying to teach us. The second exegetical kind of clarification we need, and it's often confused, is that the judge in this story is sometimes confused with, well, that's God. No, it isn't. In fact, the judge in this story is actually the antithesis to God. It is the counter to God. In other words, here's the point of what Jesus is teaching us. If an unjust, and he calls him an unjust or unrighteous judge who doesn't care about God and doesn't care about people, but if he could be persuaded to take action in response to this persistent woman, how much more so would a God who loves us? See, just the opposite, a God who loves you and cares for you, how much more so would he respond to our persistence? And so that's a couple of things that you just need to understand right out of the gates. So what I want to do is I want to show you today why persistent prayer is important. And it is important to our being able to see God work in our life and in our needs. And so let me give you three things. The first is this. I want you to notice in verse 1, persistent prayer is prescribed. Look at verse 1. Hold your Bibles open because we're going to look at another passage here in just a bit. But it says, he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. This is the lead-in to the parable. And that's why he says, this is the reason I'm telling you the parable. Because I want you to understand the importance of praying and praying and praying and praying and not losing heart. And so he prescribes for them persistent prayer. Persistent prayer is something he not only expects, he desires that we pursue him and we persist in that. And he's prescribing a course that you and I have to maintain. Listen to this. Even when we don't see a way, even when we don't feel like going forward, he says, and don't lose heart. Just keep going. Don't lose heart. In other words, don't let your feelings overwhelm your spiritual disciplines. Now, let me tell you what that means. We have a tendency to live by our feelings. Feelings are great. We want feelings. Relationships aren't very good that don't have feelings, all right? So we want feelings. We won't have feelings for God. You know, one of the joys of worshiping like we do is it moves us emotionally, not just intellectually. And that's good. That's we're physical people, we're intellectual people, and we're emotional people. And so all of those dynamics come together in worship. But God doesn't want us living on our feelings alone, right? Because your feelings come and go. See, your feelings rise and fall. Now, some of you, if you were honest, probably said, I didn't want to come to church today. I didn't feel like going to church is what we'll say. And what we're saying is my feelings, it's hard sometimes to get over my feelings. Well, I'm convinced of this. One of the reasons that we quit praying is because we become overwhelmed by our feelings. And see, what Jesus is saying here, I want you to persist in prayer. I'm prescribing a course for you, and it transcends. It goes beyond your feelings. Even when you don't see a way, you don't feel, or how about this, you don't feel like God's listening to you. You ever been there? And you thought, I'm praying, but I don't think God's listening to me. Can I assure you of something? When you're praying, God is hearing. Now, your prayers can be hindered by sin. If I hide iniquity in my heart, the Lord doesn't hear. But God has the capacity to hear every prayer that you offer to him, all right? And so, but what will happen is the devil will then say, well, God's not listening to you. God's not hearing. I've had people say this to me. I pray and it just feels like my words bounce off the ceiling, come right back at me. I want to tell you something. Keep praying. Because, and God may be saying, there's some sins that I need you to deal with and confess and move beyond so that the communication pathway is open. But here, listen to this. But God is hearing. God is listening. You always have access, if you're related to him as a child, you have access to him in prayer. And so Jesus says, keep praying. That means when you don't feel like it, keep praying. When you don't see a way, keep praying. And frankly, if there's any area that we tend to give up on, it's prayer. We probably fail in the area of prayer more than any other area in our Christian disciplines. And that is because, you know, we're kind of immediate people. We want something right now. We want it to happen right now. And so we ask. And, you know, the truth is today you live in a world where you can just about have anything you want right now. You know, our daughter, who is great with child, did I tell y'all that I'm going to be a grandfather? Did I tell y'all that? We're inside a month, by the way. And in just a couple of weeks, I've got to go to New Hampshire. I'm doing speaking to pastors and their wives up there in a conference, and looking forward to that. But my daughter's a little nervous about that, and she said, "Daddy, you think when you go up there that you could, before you left, you could pack a little bag that Mom could take in case you have to fly from New Hampshire to Nashville?" And I said, "We've already talked about it. I call it a bug out bag." But I told Allison, "We're going to put this bag together and I can go." But let me tell you, she told me something. She lives in the Nashville area. They actually live in an area called Brentwood. And we all love the access that we have today, like the internet, Amazon, and things like that. Well, she told me, she said, "Daddy, it's wild up here because there's a distribution center for them, Amazon, evidently." She said, "Daddy, I can order something on Amazon in the morning, and it will be delivered before the end of the day to our front porch." Isn't that wild? You know, I said, "They do that in Dothan too." No, they don't either. But here's the point. We're just that kind of way now, aren't we? This is what I need. And we get it pretty quick. We can order that. And you know what we do? We sometimes transfer that into things like our prayer life. "Well, God, I ask," and, well, nothing happened. So Jesus is telling his followers then, says, "Look, it doesn't work that way. You got to learn to persist." And this story acknowledges that God doesn't always answer our prayers immediately. In fact, if God did answer our prayers immediately, we wouldn't need this parable. But he doesn't always answer immediately. Now, let me say this. Persistent prayer is not a tool to manipulate God. And that's not what Jesus is suggesting here. But it is persistent prayers to be practiced in partnership with the will of God. Listen to what John said in 1 John chapter 5. He said, "And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us." Now, not everything we pray for is consistent with God's purpose in our life. But much of the time, we're just not completely sure of that. So we must pursue God in order to walk in his will, to partner our prayer life with his purposes. But there are some reasons that God doesn't always answer our prayer quickly. Let me give you two or three of those answers. I mean, reasons that God doesn't answer quickly. Number one, he doesn't answer quickly sometimes because he wants to see if we love him. This is relational. And so sometimes God says, because I want to find out, do you really love me? Another reason that God sometimes doesn't answer immediately is because he wants to spend time with us. Again, that's relational, isn't it? And you know, nothing causes us to spend time with God like a need in our life, like a crisis in our life, like some difficulty in our life. And when we have those kinds of things, guess what? It drives us to our knees. And you know what? God says, "I allow some of those things just purely because I want you to pursue me in prayer because I like spending time with you." Here's another reason that God may delay or not answer immediately, and that is spiritual warfare is going on. I hope you'll come on Sunday nights, beginning September the 9th. On Sunday nights, I'm going to begin a series. That's when we kind of come back to a regular schedule. And this series is going to be on spiritual warfare. And the title is, "Are You Prepared for the Battle?" There's spiritual war going on. I have talked with so many people in the last couple of weeks, and the only answer that I could give them is, "You're in war right now. This is war." And there's always spiritual war going on, but the intensity of it changes from season to season, sometimes from circumstance to circumstance in our life. And so we need to be prepared. The Bible helps us do that. We're going to talk about that. But sometimes your prayers aren't immediately answered because there's spiritual warfare going on. If you look at the book of Daniel chapter 9, we see that Daniel was praying, but his prayers were being fought. There was a heavenly battle that was going on to keep Daniel's prayer from getting to the throne of God. Now they did. Michael the archangel came and fought so that the prayers of Daniel would make it to heaven. I don't understand all the dynamics of that, but my point is there's spiritual warfare, and sometimes that's the reason there's not an immediate answer. Another reason is that we're not ready for the answer. I know we all think that we're the sharpest thing, you know, on the planet, but sometimes God says, "You're not sharp enough for the answer. And I've got to get you ready a little bit longer." So sometimes God says, the reason I'm not answering is because you're not ready for the answer. And then here's another reason. Sometimes God does not answer immediately because he is growing us through the pursuit. He's using the process to grow our soul. He wants your soul to be matured, and so he'll use that process of persistent prayer, keeping you before him praying because he's growing you. And then last, I'd say sometimes that God doesn't answer our prayers immediately because he wants to find out if we're serious. Are you serious about this? Are you serious enough to continue to come back? Did you notice the passage described, Jesus described his children as crying out to him day and night? Are you serious enough to say, God, I'm gonna come after you. I'm gonna pursue you. I'm gonna know what you want. And God, I'm gonna bring my petitions before you. So those are some of the reasons that God doesn't respond immediately. But they must not prevent us from persistently praying. We have to know that and say, well, so what's going on here? Because otherwise you're going to lose heart. As Jesus said, you're going to give up. You're going to stop doing the very thing that God wants you to do. Now, second, here's another thing I want you to see. So persistent prayer is prescribed. Jesus prescribes it. This is the course he prescribes for us. The second thing that I want you to note from this parable is that persistent prayer is powerful. Notice verse 5. Look at verse 5. Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that, look at this. I like this. Now watch this. So that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. Persistent prayer is powerful because it changes things. The judge said, so that this woman will not beat me down. Did you notice that? She won't beat me down. Now that's an interesting statement in the Greek. Let me tell you what literally it means. I'm going to give her what she wants because if she keeps coming to me, she's going to give me a black eye. That's what it's a pugilistic term. Can you imagine this? This judge says, man, this woman, she's beating me down with her relentless pursuit. And he says, if she can't, I'm going to I'm tired. Give her what she wants because she's going to give me a black eye. When this judge met this woman in this story, he'd met his match. You see, no matter how long the judge ignored her or denied her plea, she returned to his court asking for justice. And the judge essentially finally just kind of threw up his hands in disgust and frustration. Religious grounds didn't cause him to act because he had no religion. Social grounds didn't cause him to act because he cared nothing for people, the passage said. He simply had a job as a judge and he did it. But he did have his limits to his patience. And so finally he gave in to the woman just to get rid of her. He said, I can't take this anymore. See, he wasn't religious. He wasn't people focused. It's just, she's wearing me out. And so this is the only way I know to get her off of my back. Now, again, let me clarify something. The judge and God are not the same in this story. God does not get irritated by your persistence. That's why I told you early on, don't make the mistake of confusing this judge with God. This judge is the antithesis of God. You see, the point is, if this judge who is not religious, who doesn't care about people, but he can be moved to action by a persistent widow, how much more will the God who loves you be moved by your persistence? Father, 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 Father. Some years ago when I was pastoring in Florida, I had a man in my church. His name was Ray, as it would be. And I had prayed one morning, and he came up to me afterwards. He said, Pastor, he's a former professor of English up in Michigan. And he said, Pastor, he said, I noticed something in your prayer today. I said, what was that, Ray? And he said, I noticed that you used the word Father 7 times in your prayer. I said, you were counting? I said, why weren't you praying? He said, don't you think that's a little excessive? And I said, actually, I don't think it's excessive at all. I said, you know, when my earthly father was alive, I never recall him being offended when I called him Father. I never recall him saying, hey, Ray, enough. Stop calling me Father. It's a term of endearment. And I said, you know what? Father's a term of endearment. And I said, I can't imagine that I have offended God by calling him Father. I said, but it is possible that he could be offended by people that count words instead of praying. You see, what a privilege it is that we have to call him Father. He doesn't get irritated by that at all. God loves you. And so this judge who was unrighteous, the Bible says, he got irritated by it. But don't you ever make a mistake that God gets irritated. If an unrighteous judge could say, we need to do this to get this woman off my back, and so he does it, how much more the God who loves you adores you. He adores you. He gave his only son to die for you. And so you're not going to frustrate him by coming to him persistently. He wants you to pursue him persistently. And persistence is powerful. Let me suggest to you a couple of reasons why it's powerful. Number one, it's powerful because it says something to God. You're sending a message when you persist in prayer. You know what it is? First of all, you're saying to him, God, I am dependent on you. That's what persistent prayer is. God, I depend on you. You can do for me what no one else can do, and I know that. And so you see, you're honoring him when you persist in prayer because you're saying, God, I realize that you're the only one that can come to my aid. But it's more than that. It says something else. It also says that you trust him completely. It says, I depend on you, God, totally, but I also trust you completely. Persistent prayer is powerful because it demonstrates that you trust God with the details of life. For example, it means you trust him with your timing. God rarely moves as fast as we want him to, right? So when you persist in prayer, you know what you're saying? God, my timing is a little faster, I understand, but I trust your timing. You know, it says, I trust you with your plan. I know you have a plan, and I don't know what it may involve with me as it relates to whatever I'm pursuing him in prayer, but God, I trust your plan. And listen to this, God, I trust your hearing. I trust your hearing. Even when I don't see a way, even when I don't hear a voice in my heart, I trust that you are hearing me because you have promised that you would hear me, that you're not ignoring me. I don't know if it's a gift. A lot of people can do it, but men are better at it probably in a weird way and not necessarily a positive way, but to be able to tune other things out. And women are amazing. Yeah, what? Jonathan asked. Women are amazing. They can hear, they can carry on a conversation, they can do, you know, tasks and all that kind of stuff. They can do all of these things and manage all of these things. They can have three conversations. My wife can be talking to our daughter on the phone. She can be listening to me. There could be something on the TV and she would be hearing that and she can be doing something. Now, a guy can't do that. I mean, something suffers bad. I mean, like if he's got a knife in the kitchen and he's trying to talk and all that, there's a finger going to be missing or something like that. He just can't. He doesn't have that capacity. But he is good at blocking other things out. And I can remember early on, I would be reading and my wife would say, how can you do that? How can you not hear everything else that's going on and you're just reading? And I wouldn't answer because I wasn't listening to her. But she would say every once in a while, she said, have you heard anything I've said? And I would say, huh? And she had her answer. I'm not saying that was always smart, by the way. But I want to tell you something. Sometimes we think that's the way God is. He's just kind of tuned us out. And we're talking in prayer and talking. But God isn't hearing. I want to tell you something. God is hearing. Amen. God is hearing. So you can trust him that he is hearing. And Jesus addresses that in just a bit. But let me move on. I told you I want you to look at one more passage. Flip over to chapter 11. I want to show you something here. And begin in verse 9. Verse 9 is a very familiar passage. Jesus says this. This is another story he gives us. Some debate, is it a parable or not? But it's another story that Jesus gives that reflects the importance of pursuing him. Listen to verse 9. And I tell you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. Many of you have read that passage, heard that passage. It's a great promise from Christ. Then look at verse 10. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks it will be opened. All right. Now, Okay, good. We got that. That's the promise. You ask, seek, knock. Jesus says, you know, I'm going to open. Then look at verse 11. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, Jesus, as your Father in heaven, Jesus wants you to understand something. And that is, he has your best in mind. And so when you pray persistently, you are saying to him, I believe you have my best in mind. You say, how does this passage connect with that? Well, what he's saying right there, if a son comes to his father and says, Father, I'm hungry. Could I have a fish? His dad doesn't go, here's a snake. We'll give my son a snake. Or if his son says, you know, Father, would you give me an egg? Could I have an egg? I like eggs, God. Give me an egg. Father, but his father says, I ain't giving you an egg. Instead, here's a scorpion. He says, no sane father would do that with their child. He says just the opposite. He says, because a father loves their child, what is the father going to do? The father, he says, and you being evil, if you know how to give good gifts to your kids, how much more so the Father in heaven who has, okay, here it is, our best interest in mind. Many years ago now, I don't know, it's probably been close to 30 or so, I had taken a ministry position. When I took that ministry position, we moved to a new state. And we bought, we did this deal on a house, and I had not sold our house where we were coming from. And I have to tell you something, I didn't make enough money to pay for two homes. And probably we were young, and it was probably kind of a stupid thing to do, and the burden became very great. But I will tell you that, by the way, this is also a testimony to tithe. We didn't have the money on paper. You could put down everything, all of our obligations. There just wasn't enough to pay for two houses, to eat, to tithe and all that. We tithe to God. But I want to tell you this, we never missed a bill. We weren't even late on a bill, and we never missed a meal. You can look at me and tell. We never missed a meal, but we had this burden for a year. We had two houses. I just had thought the other one would sell and we'd turn everything real quick, but it didn't. Not only did the one we left not sell, it sat on the market for close to a year without anybody even looking at it. It wasn't high priced. It was reasonably priced. We dropped the price. We still couldn't get anybody. Man, the burden becomes great. Some of you have been there. And we're praying every day. Alice and I are praying, God, is a very profound spiritual prayer. And it went like this. God, sell the house. I mean, that's what we're praying. God, just sell the house. The burden is great. Can we, Lord, sell the house. We obeyed him. We continued to get. Listen to this. For a year, this went on. Praying every day, every day. One morning in my office, I'm praying early, and I'm praying for the house. God, this burden is great. Sell the house, Lord. And it just so happened, the passage I just read to you was the passage that I was reading that morning in my personal devotional life with God. And I said, God, wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. And so every once in a while, I don't have time to talk about this. Our time is too limited. But every once in a while, what God will do is he will give you a passage, and suddenly it may be a passage you've read or you've studied before. And suddenly it's like it comes alive, and your faith suddenly is merged with the truth that God has given you to say, this is for you, and it is for you right now. And so I'm reading, and I read that, and I said, wait a minute, God. And man, my heart started racing. I said, God, and I got down to pray. I said, God, I'm your child. And Father, I'm asking for fish. You said you wouldn't give me a snake. And God, I'm asking for eggs, and you said you wouldn't give me a scorpion. So I'm coming to you as a child, and I'm asking you, God, would you sell our home? Listen to this. I got up off my knees, and God whispered in my heart and said, it's done. We hadn't even had anybody look at it. He said, it's done. The burden was lifted from me, and I thought, God, it is done. I couldn't pray about it anymore. That's another story about when God does that. God sometimes will do that. And at any rate, so I went on through my day. I had a busy day. I didn't get home till, I don't know, it was close to 7, And so I'm pulling in the driveway. My wife is out on the front porch, and she's jumping up and down. And I'm, you know, we're relatively newlyweds. We've been married now almost 38 years. And so we were young, which is why I was stupid and had two houses. But she's standing there jumping up and down. And I get out of the car, and I'm young, and I'm not thinking. I didn't handle this right. We've laughed about it. But again, she's so excited. She's going, you know, you will not believe what just happened. You will not believe what happened. And I just nonchalantly get my little satchel out of the car with me, shut the door, and said, God sold the house. She goes, how did you know? I said, he told me this morning that he'd sold the house. She said, well, he did. It sold, and it sold just like that. Now, listen to me. I learned a lot in that year of praying about persisting in prayer. But one of the things I learned was how powerful it is when God does what you can't do. And when you realize that God has your best interest in mind. Now, persistent prayer is powerful. I've got to move on and finish up with this last point. But I just want to say to you, some of you are here today and you're in that place where you feel like throwing your hands up, just quitting, stopping. There's something going on in your life. I don't know what it is. God wanted you to hear this message today to help you so you won't quit. So you won't throw in the towel. So you think, well, I don't think God's hearing me. Keep going. Don't stop. Don't let your feelings overwhelm your faith, all right? It is powerful, and God is hearing you. But there's one final thing I want to show you this morning. That is persistent prayers prescribed by Jesus. Persistent prayer is powerful because it changes things. And here's the last thing. Persistent prayer is profitable. Go back to the original passage and look at verse 7. Did you see verse 7, what he says there? And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? It's profitable. Jesus says that eventually if you will persist, he will hear you in terms of the response. He's hearing you along the way. Prayer is profitable because it brings the resources of heaven down to our earthly needs. Now, Jesus applied this story for his disciples. And again, I remind you, if an uncaring judge acts like this, how much more does a loving heavenly father care for his children? He will not put you off. He does care. And let me show you something that I've saved for the very end. These principles are clearly taught, and they're applicable in a lot of ways in our spiritual life. And they're especially, however, applicable for our prayer life and our pursuit of God. But the context here, and this is what I say because I didn't talk much about the context. The context here is actually that we are to be persistent in prayer even though life is full of injustice, difficulty, suffering, and adverse circumstances. Remember, Jesus uses the circumstances of this woman to describe the reasons for persistent prayer. I don't know what happened to her, but it was bad. And he uses that in the midst of her context, insists saying, the judge has put me off, he's put me off, I'm giving up, to not to give up, to be relentless. And the context is that we should be relentless through all the details of our life, when it's good, when it's bad. But in particular, in her case, things were not great. In other words, when life isn't fair, keep praying. When suffering is experienced, keep praying. When trials seem to overwhelm you, keep praying. When others may lie about you, keep praying. When you're sick and you need healing, keep praying. When the world misrepresents or maligns you, keep praying. Do you get it? Be relentless. Don't stop. Keep going. God is listening to you. God is hearing your prayer. And he will one day, in response to your persistent prayer, come and bring justice to your cause or to your circumstance or situation. Here's the application for us. There are many things in this life and in your life that are not right. There are a lot of those things. Don't let those things cause you to stop seeking God, to quit praying, or to give up. We must not. God is listening. And He hears your persistent cries. He hears your prayers. So keep praying and keep believing. Why is it important to persist? Well, let me just point you back to one more verse, and that is verse 8. Now look at this, because you may wonder, why is this verse even here? I tell you, He will, that is God, give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith? Why keep praying? Well, the day is coming when He will right, God will right all the wrongs, and He will vindicate those who have been mistreated, and He will vindicate those who have stayed the course by faith and prayer. You say, but it says speedily there, but you're talking about persistence. That's a long haul. Now, listen, here's what He's referring to. There are some things that God is going to hear your prayer on and answer in this life. There are some things God's going to hear your prayers on, and you won't see the results until after He has returned. Does that make sense? But when He comes, He will make all the wrongs right. And guess how? It will happen quickly, speedily. So you persist because He's coming, and when He comes, everything changes. And the injustices will be made just. The wrongs will be righted quickly. It won't be like, okay, now for the next 10,000 years in eternity, we got to work out the details. No, no. Speedily, it's done at that point. And so what He's saying to us is, be faithful to the very end. Because what you do not see answered here, you will see answered on the other side. You remember Hebrews 11 talks about the others, I call them. It said, but they were looking, that they didn't get the technical answer right here in this life, but they were looking to another kingdom, to eternity. Because they knew then. They knew. But you say, so why should I pray? Because you don't know which ones God's going to say this side of eternity and which ones God's going to say that side of eternity. Does that make sense? And that's why He ends this passage by saying, when he returns, will He find faith on earth? Will He be able to look at His people and say, you were faithful? You were faithful though you prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. George Mueller, everybody ought to read about George Mueller. Incredible man of prayer. Ran hundreds of orphanages by prayer, literally. And George Mueller began to pray for the salvation of five of his acquaintances, his friends. And he began to pray, and after a couple of months, one of them came to the Lord. 10 years later, two more came to the Lord. So that's three of the five have come to the Lord after 10 years. He continued to pray, persisted in prayer, and it took 25 years before the fourth man came to Christ. 25 years he'd been praying for these folks, but he came to Christ, and he never wavered in that. His testimony was, I believe, from the time I started until they got saved, that they would get saved. But that's only four of the five. And he persisted in prayer for 52 years. He died. Then he died. And what he found out in heaven was, after he died, at his service, the fifth man came to God, came to Christ. 52 years. Could you do it? Can you do it? If you believe, if you understand what Jesus is teaching us, don't quit, don't give up, don't stop, not now, don't lose heart, keep praying. Jesus is going to come back. Be faithful in your pursuit of Him until He returns. I read this, a clipping that I had from several years. I read it again this week. It's about a man named Otha Anders. He's from Ruston, Louisiana. And he spent 45 years bending over and picking up things that most people pass by. Pennies. Most of us don't even think that they're worth picking up. Usually they're in some dirty place or something like that. We don't even fool with them. Just let the pennies ride. But he, for 45 years, when he'd see a penny, pick it up, keep the penny. 45 years. And in October 2015, The 73-year-old man, Otha Anders, walked into his bank. He was retired from the school system, had been a supervisor for in-school suspended children. He walked into his bank, and he took 15 five-gallon jugs filled with pennies, and he deposited a grand total of $5,136.14 in just pennies into his account. By the way, the bank's coin machines took 5 hours to count all the pennies. Don't you imagine that? That attendant loved it. I've got just, here's a 5 gallon jug of pennies. I've got 14 more of them coming. But think about that, $5,000 worth of pennies just by bending over and picking them up. His persistence in doing that consistently over the years had a surprising and profitable result, didn't it? Listen to me. So does persistent praying. It's just like that. We may not realize it, but it's adding up. You're praying and praying, and God is hearing and hearing and hearing, and you're praying. And eventually, you know what Jesus said in verse 8? Eventually, the results from God in response to your prayer will surprise you. It'll be wonderful. So pray, pray, and don't give up. It's why Jesus gave us this parable, to encourage us and to keep us praying and not lose heart. It's why Paul writes in Philippians 4, says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer is our uplink to the Father. So keep praying. Keep it up. Don't give it up. That's what Jesus says. Father, thank you for reminding us, Father, that it works. And I pray for any that might be here today who are discouraged and want to quit, whether it means following you, they want to just give in to their old self and just do their own thing instead of following you. Any that are here who've been praying and have become discouraged, saying you're not hearing. And Lord, whatever the case may be, whatever the circumstances may be, would you today bolster their faith? Would you return their hearts to pursue you? And would you cause them not to quit, not to give up under any circumstance? Lord, there are some in this place who need the relationship so that they can pursue you about the things and the details of life. I pray for them today, those in this place that have never really trusted you. Would you help them today to come and give their hearts in salvation to you, to put their trust in you and you alone for their eternity? And then, Lord, there are others perhaps that are needing a family to belong to. Let this be the day, and let this be the church, that they come and say, we want Ridgecrest to be our home, our family. Lord, I pray that you'll speak now in these moments before we're gone. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me for our invitation? The band's going to play. I'll be here at the front. Other staff members are going to be at the front of the aisles. Here's what I want to do. I want to invite you to slip out, make your way forward. You may say, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. We're going to help you with that. We'll pray with you and talk with you about that. You may be here today and say, you know what? I need a church family. I know that Christ is my Savior, but I need a family to belong to, and I want Ridgecrest to be that family. Would you slip out, come tell one of our staff down here. We'll get some information. That's all we're going to do to help you make that a reality. You may be here and say, you know, I just need to kneel before God. I need to pray. People use it. They did in the first service and do it in this service. That's what this prayer rail area is for. Come and bend the knee. Something powerful about a bent knee. Whatever the decision might be for you this morning, would you slip out in the balcony or this ground floor? We're here to receive you as we sing right now. Come on. Well, today we've been talking about persistence, in particular persistence in prayer, and how powerful and profitable it is. But for prayer to have that kind of power and profit in your life, it has to be combined with a relationship with Jesus Christ. He loves you. He died for you. And there's nothing you've done that He can't forgive you of. And I want to invite you, if you've never put your trust in Christ as your Savior, to do just that right where you are right now. call on him. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So you can say something like this in your heart to him. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for my sins. I know I'm a sinner, but I thank you that you died for all of my sins. And right now, I want you to be my Savior. I invite you to come into my life and be my Lord and Master and Savior. Now, I want to tell you, if you'll call on him like that, he'll hear that prayer. That's a prayer God hears of anyone. And so I want to urge you to do that if you've never trusted him as your Savior. And then if you call on him and to be your Savior today, we'd love to help you in that new journey. We have some growth material we'd like to send to you. It's free. There are no strings attached. Just let us know. You'll see contact information on the screen in front of you. Let us know about your decision, and we'd love to get that material to you. And then, of course, to all of our audience, I want to invite you to come and visit with us here at Ridgecrest if you do not already have a church home. We have two Sunday morning services. We have an 8:15. We call it a blended service. It has both choir and orchestra, praise and hymns. And then we have a 10:50 service that is a band-driven, very relaxed, very contemporary service. In both services, my message will be the same. But you may have a particular style you like, and so we invite you to come and visit in either of those. We love new people. We're not a perfect church, but we're a healthy church. And health is extremely important when it comes to the family of God. And so come and visit with us if you're looking for a place or do not already have a church home. And then check us out on the web, www.rbcdothan.org. A lot of information about ministries, things that are going on right here. You have access to podcasts, video on demand, streaming, all sorts of things there, as well as detailed information about events and other things happening here at Ridgecrest. So check us out there. And then, of course, like us on all the social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. We have a presence on all of those, and we'd love for you to be one of our followers there. Well, again, it's been good to have you tuned into the broadcast today. I hope you've been encouraged by God's Word. It has been my joy to share it with you, and I look forward to doing that again next week at this same time on this channel. Look forward to seeing you then. Until then, may the Lord bless you.